Man, we're entering into the last month of the year. It's the first Sunday of Advent. What did we do with last month? What have we done with the last 11 months? So much to do, so little time. What are we going to do with this next month before we get into 2024? Time is moving. It's moving quickly. Today we come together. My message title is My Hope is Emmanuel. Like I said, it's the first Sunday of Advent. 11 months behind us, 1 month ahead of us, and a lifetime to make an impact, right? Now, for some of us, a lifetime is different lengths of time. You know, this Friday I went to a Tree of Remembrance with my sister and my mother for her son who was murdered, and they have it each year. And it's a tough thing to go to. And they have a Christmas tree, and they have ornaments with pictures of people that have been killed in different ways. And there's pictures that have dates, and they have pictures, and it's not just old people. It's young people like my nephew. It's younger people, 3 and 4 years old, 11 months old. 47 years old. It's men, it's women, it's boys, it's girls, it's babies. And it was tough to do that. And they hang these ornaments, and each year they have the opportunity to hang a new ornament. And sadly, each year, the number of trees grows. And those dates identify when their life began and when their life ended. And we struggle at Christmas time. We say, man, this is a tough time of year for us. And I know for many of you it is. For me it is. Oh, it's a glorious time nonetheless, but it is a struggle sometimes with what we're feeling, what we're going through. Christmas, all its festivities, all its joy, festive decor, festive attractions and activities. And yet we struggle. And it's a difficult time for us. We struggle with loss. We struggle with loneliness, separation, depression, illness, trials that are real to each one of us that are going through it. Now, what do I mean by that? That means for some they're going, that's no trial. For the person that's going through it, it is very real. And we have to be conscious of those things. But I think in the midst of the things that we go through and the struggles that we have, well, you and I, let's just call it us, we have the capacity, hopefully, but I believe it to be true, to appreciate this season more than others that don't struggle. Adam, explain that to me. Who appreciates a fine meal more? A glutton? Or someone that's starving. The person that's starving appreciates that more. As we come into this season and we start focusing on what this is, we can appreciate today's Advent message. One of hope more than those that have not suffered. Turn in your Bibles to the first book in the New Testament, Matthew. In the first chapter of that first book in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1. And let me walk you through a couple stories in the Bible as we see these things. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 23. And it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And that angel said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Well, think about that. An angel appears and said, Hey, by the way, don't be afraid. This woman's going to have a child, and it's of the Holy Spirit. Oh, and that child is going to save people from their sins. Now think, when God appeared in the Old Testament, usually it was pretty scary. People were terrified. They were usually in fear. But now God appeared in the New Testament. And He appeared as a baby. What is weaker and more vulnerable than a baby? And don't point to your spouse. But there's nothing weaker or more vulnerable than a baby, than an infant. And God chose to appear in the New Testament in the form of an infant, a baby, helpless, weak, vulnerable. But the angel said, and his name will be Emmanuel, God with us. In John chapter 11, there's a story of Lazarus. And in this story of Lazarus, he's sick. He's the brother of Martha and Mary. And as he fell ill, they sent word to Jesus and said, Our brother Lazarus is sick. Jesus said, Great. Let's hang out here a few days where he was. We'll go there and visit him in time. As he's on his way, Jesus tells the disciples, Oh, he's asleep. And they think, Oh, he's taking a nap. He will get better because of that. Jesus said, No, let me just clarify it. He's dead. But he goes on the way anyway. And when he gets there, he finds out that Lazarus has already been in the tomb 4 days. Martha comes and greets him and basically gives him what for? Saying, If you had been here, my brother would not have died. In John chapter 11, verse 23, Jesus said, Your brother will rise again. Martha said, Yes, I understand that. I know he will rise again in the resurrection. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Okay. Sister Mary comes out now. Here comes Mary and says the same thing. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus says, Take me to where he is. John chapter 11, verse 35. Shortest verse in the Bible. And it says what, church? Jesus wept. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus wept. That's a powerful thing. Jesus, or God, wept with them, entered into their grief and into their sorrow with them. And I'm telling you today, whatever you're going through, Jesus is walking through that. God is going through that with you. I told you several weeks ago, no matter what you're going through, God took you to that place. Now, when I say that, you may have made a choice that took you to that place, but He allowed that to happen. God entered into their sorrow and their grief with them. God with us. The idea listen carefully, the idea of God with us, not someone that's afar off, not someone that's sitting over on the side watching from way far away, but someone that is there in our lives with us even into death. That's a God I can understand. But more importantly, that is a God that I can pray to. That's the God that is with me, knowing what I'm going through. Jesus wept. He knew what they were going through. He was there in it with them. God is in it and with each and every one of us. When we walk through life with one another, when we go through the things that each one of us is going through together as a body of believers, you know, I've said many times the Bible says you are a new creation. You are Christ's ambassador. Well, when we walk through life with one another, we are His ambassadors. And by the way, sometimes walking through life with people is just being there with them. Not having all the answers necessarily. And not trying to solve their problems sometimes. Maybe a gentle nudge or a guiding word or a scripture. But it's really being there with them. When we walk through life with one another, and we become His ambassadors, just like the candle today. We become His light. We become His love. We become His joy. We become His hope. But here's what I love. When we break through, when we overcome our own struggles, now let me just tell you, God's idea is that we break through and we overcome our struggles. You see, He created us to be overcomers. He created us to overcome the enemy, to overcome our fear of whatever it is we're going through. When we break through and overcome our struggles and begin to minister to others, we exemplify hope to and for others. You see, our hope of overcoming and coming through on the plus side of things. I've been through it. Let me tell you. Oh my goodness, man. How many times do you see those things? Lose weight. Do this. And you're sitting there going, oh my gosh, there's 10 minutes of things I got to watch. Just give me the answer. Sometimes the breakthrough is that same thing. It's not a quick and easy process. You see, you're not going to break through or overcome that situation in a week. Maybe not even a month. A lot of times this time of year is a struggle for people. They grieve. Don't let anybody put a time frame on your grief, by the way. But I'm going to tell you this also. Don't dawdle. Okay? Don't sit and wallow in it forever. God desires for us to pick ourselves up. And He desires for us to move on. He desires to be the hope that is within us, that gets us up each and every day and moves us forward. This story of Lazarus, it changes everything. It changes everything. Jesus, in the end, He goes through those things and He says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Jesus, don't go in there. He's been there 4 days and He smells. And He's got death clothes. And Jesus tells him to come on out. And he comes out. And by the way, he asked his sisters, "Do you believe?" And they said, "Yes." "Believe the works that you may know, and believe that the Father in me and I in him." Do you believe is what they ask. And then Martha said, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Jesus commanded them, "Take away the stone." When he came out, he said, "Loose him and let him go." You see, he was still bound when Jesus called him forth. Listen carefully. Because Jesus may have called each and every one of us. Church, we may still be bound up though. Just because he called us doesn't mean that he has unbound us yet. Sometimes he is waiting for us to free ourselves. Sometimes he is waiting for us to free someone else. But just because he called us forth doesn't mean that we are unbound. Okay? We've got to free ourselves, and sometimes we've got the key right in our hand to unburden ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 4, and it says this regarding comfort. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." He is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble. Oh, it doesn't say it. That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. You see, he comforts us. Why? So that we now have the ability, so we now have the example of how to comfort others. We now become the hope for other people. The Advent season continues on. It is hope, peace, joy, and love. That sounds pretty good to me, Adam. Hope, peace, joy, and love. Romans 15:13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." The God of hope wants to fill us with those other aspects of the Advent season, with joy and peace and love. Well, we know God is love. He's also the God of hope. He's the God of peace. He's the God of joy. He's the God of freedom. They line up together when we follow God, when we line up with him, when we lean on him no matter what we're going through. Our hope rests in the living God. Emmanuel, God with us. You know, when Mary and Martha told Jesus, "If you had been here, if you had been here, he would not have died." And Jesus said what he said, "Do you believe?" And said, "I believe." But at the moment, they lost hope. Jesus, if you had been here with him, I know that he would not have died. We have to be careful that we don't lose hope telling Jesus, "If you were here with me, I wouldn't be going through this. If you were here with them, they wouldn't be going through this. If you were here with them, they would not be gone from this earth today." We sometimes get caught up and say, "Jesus, if..." We don't get to make that call. We don't get to say, Jesus, if you're real, you'd do this. You would have done this. And that's exactly what Mary and Martha did. But then when he said, you believe I am the resurrection and I am the life, they said, yes, I believe. In the Advent season, as we sit with expectation awaiting the arrival of the birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Savior of the world, we can't give up our hope in a God that loves us, in a God that is Emmanuel, God with us. He is with us. He walks with us. He is going through the things we go through with us. And He weeps with us. But He desires for us to conquer all of our afflictions, all of our struggles, all of our problems. And He desires for us to be overcomers. He desires for us to be His ambassador. He desires for us to take the candle. He came as light into a dark world. And He desires for us to take that light into the dark places that we go day in and day out. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, today we thank You for Your Advent message. Lord, we thank You for Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, as we approach this Christmas season, the season of Advent, may You comfort us and free us so that we may comfort others. Lord, as You call us forward, may we be unbound. May we also go around trying to loose and unbind others that may be bound up. Lord, I thank You for a God that loves us, a God that is with us, a God that walks with us, that sits with us, that cries with us, that grieves with us, and is in our sorrow with us. But I also thank You for a God that goes with us through our victories, through our celebrations, through our overcoming. God, I thank You for a God that allows us to be overcomers. Lord, I pray today that those here today struggling feel Your presence. But more importantly, that they see the hope that is in You. Lord, may they be freed up this holiday season. May they find joy, peace, hope, and love that You bring. In Jesus' name, amen.